Hey, how's it going? Chibi, and this is actually probably the realest, most realistic roleplay video I'm ever gonna shoot because it's not a roleplay, it's real. This is very meta. The title is real. Yeah, you clicked on this video, so that means it's all right with you if I just talk to you about my Dungeons and Dragons character and the campaign I've been doing for the last couple of months. I totally do not mind if you fall asleep. In fact, that is the point. I'm just dying. I'm dying to talk about it. And you don't have to listen, or you totally can listen and talk back. I would love to hear what you think. But mostly, you can totally fall asleep to this because I am such a rambler and I am not going to hold myself back this time. No, no, no. This is the video for rambling, and I got some. So, yeah, it's all right with you if I just talk. Okay, are you comfortable? Good, good. I got so comfy. I have this like chair, couch chair in here. Blankets on planet Earth. I can't remember what this one's called. It's not one with like a fleece backing. Those are like too much for me. But this is my favorite blanket of all time. I got my favorite tea. I have a very comfy hoodie on. Candles. I got some of my D&D stuff. My phone, so I can make sure we're not gonna get interrupted during our very important discussion. And I also want to show you some art. I figured it would be better since, again, this is not really a role play in that I'm plane, airplane, pretending, because this is not pretend. This is all, I'm truly telling you all of this. And so instead of like showing you pictures on my phone, I will put them on the screen so you can see them because I already got so much art commissioned of my characters. Okay, so let's get into it. I know you want to hear all about my Dungeons and Dragons character. I know. It's basically the most self-indulgent conversation ever. If you ever want to just be the nicest person alive, ask somebody about their D&D character or about their D&D campaign. Just like so nice of you because I care. I want to hear about it. So let's start with, let's pretend you don't know what Dungeons and Dragons is. I feel like everyone's heard of it. But most of the people in my life, they're like, okay, like I know what it is, but I have no idea what it is or how you play or what the point is. Like, do you win? Do you, like, what do you do? And I'll try to explain it in very simple terms. If I will absolutely get things wrong, so don't let that bother you if you hear something that I say is incorrect. Don't worry. It's a tabletop role-playing game. A lot of people, you know, they do play it in person. That's probably like what you've seen. And like, I think Stranger Things probably gave it a lot of new light. Obviously, Critical Role is huge. You can play it in person. But you can also play it online. So I've been playing it online, and there are some platforms. The one I use is Roll20, and then there's also D&D Beyond. Very good for building your characters. I think D&D Beyond is like, that's the official one. So Dungeons and Dragons is made by a company, and they have like official rules and official books. So that's like these books here. This is the player's handbook. And this is the rules, kind of. With Dungeons and Dragons, typically you will need a dungeon master or a game master. I think specifically Dungeons and Dragons call the game masters dungeon masters. And the dungeon master is running the game. They know all of the information of the story. They play all of the like characters that you'll run into, or the creatures or monsters or villains that you'll be fighting. The dungeon master does that and makes decisions kind of on what happens when the players are deciding what to do. I'm not explaining this great, but who cares, right? I'm sure you could just Google it for a much better explanation. Anyway, all the rules are in here, and essentially, what you do if you're a player, I'm going to talk mostly about being a player, is you create a character. And usually, you're creating a character with a campaign in mind. So, I call a campaign the. Picture Dungeons and Dragons. It's like a very intricate, choose-your-own-adventure, interactive movie slash video game that's not a video game. And Dungeons and Dragons has published like adventures essentially that are already pre-written and prepped, and there are like established, this is what happens, these are the characters, this is how powerful the characters are. This is what happens if you do X, this is what happens when you do Y, this is what happens when you do Z. With obviously a lot of room for improvisation by the dungeon master. We were playing one of those adventures, our very first adventure. It's a very popular one that a lot of people have played before, and it's called The Lost Mines of Phandelver. So we actually picked this one because we were using a professional game master. I will ask if he wants his information put in this video. I'm sure he does because he's amazing. I don't gatekeep. I don't gatekeep. And I really want to gatekeep him, okay? Because I don't want his schedule to fill up. But God, he deserves it. So I can't gatekeep. So I'm just saying, I want to gatekeep this information, but I will not because. Anyway, professional game master that we found via TikTok. And my cousin James, I'm sure you've seen on my channel, actually found him, and we had been talking about playing Dungeons and Dragons together for so long because it's very up our alley. We love, 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 like, we do a lot of cosplay, we do the masquerades, skit writing, acting, improv. It just seemed very up our alley. He was like, I found this professional dungeon master, You can literally hire him. He knows how to play. He can teach us and we can have a campaign. And I was like, oh my God, okay. So it is me, James, Ben, my husband, and River, in a campaign. It's the four of us. And we picked the adventure, The Lost Mines of Phandelver, because the description made it sound like it was a classic, what you think of when you think of Dungeons and Dragons. It takes place in the Forgotten Realms, which I guess I can best describe as like a setting, I would say, like a story setting. I think what the Forgotten Realms is, it's like an alternate, not even an alternate reality, it's like a reality next to ours that we don't know exists, and like that's why it's called the Forgotten Realms. Again, you can Google it, you'll get the better answer for it. But it's a place where there is a lot of magic and dragons and elves, dwarves. It's like Lord of the Rings, big Lord of the Rings vibes, obviously. Took insane amount of inspiration from it. Clearly, the people who made Dungeons and Dragons, you can look it up again. I'm not here to talk about the origins of Dungeons and Dragons. It's not a history lesson. But anyway, picture like you're in like a, basically like a medieval setting. Put it at that. Magic. Elves. And the story is that you are part of an adventuring party that is hired to escort a cart that has like supplies in it, but you don't, it's like kind of like you don't really know what's going on. You're just like hired to escort this cart from one town to another. You just need to get it there safely because, you know, there's thieves, bandits and stuff on the roads. And so people in this realm, you know, they'll hire some muscle to make sure that their stuff doesn't get stolen or ruined, or they don't want to get attacked. So of course you get attacked. You're hired by a dwarf named Gundren Rockseeker, and Gundren was supposed to be right ahead of you. You're headed to a town called Phandalin, along with another character named Sildar, and all of this shouldn't be too spoilery. This is all like, this is like the hook. This is the first thing. And so you're escorting us down to Phandalin when you come across Gundren and Sildar's horses in the middle of the path, and they're dead, and they've clearly been ambushed and attacked and dragged away. You don't know if they're alive or dead. And you're like, oh my God. And that's where the adventure starts. So, the Lost Mines of Phandelver is the title of this adventure. And this adventure contains a ton of side quests and like a big overarching main quest that you can play like in any order, depending on what you're trying to do. Since it was our very first time playing, creating the characters was very intimidating, just in that we didn't know what to expect or what we would need or what any of the different like class types like did. So it was a lot of reading. And for me, I was looking up all the lore I could find on, like, the universe that we were in. So I was looking up everything on, like, the Forgotten Realms and all that stuff and trying to, like, get a grasp of, like, where are we in this adventure so that I can make a realistic character. And, you know, like, in a video game, you know, you have to create a character page, like The Sims. I spend so spend so much time in the character creation part of video games. And in Dungeons and Dragons, you can do as much as you want. You can do as little as you want, or you can go in. So, I went in, but since this was a common, like, beginner adventure for Dungeons and Dragons players, there was actually a couple of pre-made characters that you could just pick from, and they gave all the stats and like a little background blurb and all that, and they're basically like, if you have no idea where to go, pick one of these characters and you can play with them. And so my group, we were kind of like, well, if they're telling us this is kind of what we need for this adventure, let's just each pick a character and take the important parts, but then make the rest of it your own. So there was like a human fighter character, and Ben picked him. He made him a him. And then James wanted to be a rogue, and I believe the pre-made character was a halfling rogue, but he made him a tiefling rogue, and I'll talk about this, don't worry. And then there was a dwarf cleric and an elf wizard. So I thought I was gonna play the dwarf cleric, and I started writing out my backstory and all that jazz. But then I started reading about the wizard, and each of these had like a little backstory in them. So my little backstory was like, you're an elf wizard who heard from this god Ogma, the god of knowledge, that like he wants you to restore this shrine, and if you do, like, you know, he'll reward you. And that was essentially the background blurb. In the Forgotten Realms, at least, in Dungeons and Dragons, we'll say, the gods are very prominent. It's definitely like Greek mythology vibe, like polytheism, in that, like, it's not like people believe in God or don't, like, in this realm. It's like, oh no, the gods are real, like, we can see them. They're just like more powerful beings that live on different planes, like, even the Greek gods canonically are like a part of it too, which I will get into. So yeah, so like this god Ogma, one of the god of knowledge, is like, yo, restore this shrine for me, and, you know, I'll reward you. And as I was reading through the characters, River is very busy and doesn't like to read a lot in terms of, you know, when she played Hades, the video game, and I played Hades, she just like ran through every room and didn't talk. She doesn't talk to anyone. When she gets back to the House of Hades, she just goes to the next run. She doesn't even talk to anyone. Okay, it's heresy. Anyway, I really like deep diving, reading a lot, knowing everything, just like getting in there. And so, from what I was reading, wizards were pretty complicated. And to be fair, now I think like clerics are pretty complicated too. But Ben was the same. He didn't want a complicated character, and neither did River, for his first time. And so he took the fighter, and I'm like, oh, we don't really need, like, we need, in my mind, we need a cleric, we need, like, a healer. And so I was like, River, you play the cleric, I'll play the wizard, because the wizard characters are supposed to be, so there's different classes. I could probably read to you the classes, but basically there's, like, more like knights and fighters, like that kind of style. Then there's like spellcasters, and a wizard is a spellcaster that learns magic through reading and studying. nerds, very knowledgeable, and they're supposed to have like high intelligence. So there's different like skills. They're not called skills, it's called ability score. So wizards are spellcasters that learn magic by studying, and that appealed to me because I knew that I, like GB, would do a lot of reading, a lot more than River wanted to do, so I could play a character who is more of like a knowledgeable, maybe like know-it-all type. And so I was like, okay, you know what, I'll just like lean into my role here. I'll play the elf wizard, you play the dwarf cleric. I've already looked up a bunch of stuff about it, so like I can kind of guide you on like how to build your character. And she was like, thank god. James was playing a rogue, so the class is like slick, like almost like think of like a pickpocket, sneaky, quiet, stealthy, that kind of vibe. So you have like your race and your class. So I was playing an elf wizard, and James was a tiefling, which is like a demon person. Essentially, like someone in your family tree had like messed around with a demon, perhaps, or been cursed by something or whatever. And then like someone comes out a tiefling, and they've got like horns and a tail and stuff. And Ben was a human fighter, and River a dwarf cleric. And then so clerics are, they're like half spellcasters, half melee, I guess. The thing with the clerics is that they worship, or like they like extra worship one god, and that god gives them powers with which to like perform duties and go on quests and stuff. So that's how like they have their magic. So it's time for me to think about my character. And good god, I got so invested. So I looked up a bunch of stuff about elves. So much. And I think even in the character sheet, it said that the character was supposed to be a sun elf. Otherwise, I don't remember how I came about that. But I decided to be a sun elf. And I was looking up where elves were from in the Forgotten Realms. And there's a couple different types of elf. Long story short, I heard about an island called Evermeet, and it was where a bunch of elves lived, majority sun elves, and this island was totally removed from like the main continent, Faerûn. Nobody but elves were allowed on there. In this world, like, elves live a really long time, like 400 to 600 years, I think. Then, like, humans live, like, normal, like 70 to 90 years. I think dwarves live a little longer. Elves live a super long time, and so, like, their shtick is that they're pretty, like, aloof, calm. They're, like, in no rush. They kind of look down on, like, stupid little humans kind of thing. I think they believe in reincarnation. But so I'm like, okay, we have like this smart nerd elf. Maybe he's from Evermeet. And he's never not been on, like, in Evermeet, like over on this island that is so far from the continent in which these events are about to take place. And so I was reading about elves, and I come across this article from like 1990 something about elves. And in this one article, I think it was like for the Dungeons and Dragons magazine or something, there was a line that said that elves can experience this phenomenon called theremin. I like say it in a very American accent, whatever. T-H-I-R-M-I-N. T-H-I-R-A-M-A-N. Theremin. And basically, it's like, if you're a Twilight fan, it's like imprinting, but this was written first. So elves, they'll get married, they'll like have a kid, they'll fall in love and stuff. They like, from what else I read, they, you know, have a lot of like relations, but they don't, it's like super casual to them. They like don't care. In like one of the articles, it was like, it's like hanging out, reading a book, they don't care. Some elves would experience this theremin, which is like an instant like soulmate, I guess. When you like lay eyes on each other or something, you'd like have be like a soulmate. And I was like, oh, that's interesting, that's fun. I love a good like love story. But with some curse or ritual, it appears that maybe like some type of cleric or whatever, you could intentionally sever the theremin, the bond. Think of it as like a string, I guess. You can intentionally sever it, like maliciously. And once the bond is severed, you don't have any feelings for the other elf anymore. And so the elves would like solemnly just kind of move out and whatever, but they would have no interest in restoring the bond again because the feeling is no longer there, so they don't have that desire to fix it because they don't feel anything anymore. It's very sad. And I was like, oh, that is compelling. I love that. I took this from a 1990 article. It's not mentioned anywhere else ever again. And I took that and I was like, that is what's gonna happen to my character. I don't remember how I came, like, I don't remember in what order I came up with all of this, besides the fact that I like found that article and then I was like, yes. And I found about Evermeet and I was like, yeah. So here is the background. So his name is Barathir, and I got his name from online. It is a website called angelfire.com. Okay. And so I was looking up like the prefixes and suffixes and stuff to like find a fun name. And then I gave him a last name. And what I decided was that his family, his like blood relatives, would be like prone to getting theremin, like soulmates. So like their family in particular, everyone expected to get one. And their last name in Elvish was like Uessa Undlin, Uessa Undlin. So it was like heirs to the lover's kiss, right? But then I translated it into like a common, which is like the commonly spoke language. Translated that into love child. So his name's Barathir Lovechild. So he grew up in Evermeet. He was super smart, basically, think like valedictorian, know-it-all, very cocky, not necessarily cocky, but like very confident. Very, very good at magic. And in particular, he has an interest in, he was in the school of conjuration magic. There's a bunch of different schools of magic that you can choose for your character to like specialize in. There's like necromancy, divination, illusion. I think most people pick abjuration, I think it is. That's like attack magic. I picked conjuration. Again, can't really remember why. I know I had a reason though. conjuration, you like conjure something, obviously, from nothing, really. There's like transmutation magic where you would change something into something else, but conjuration is like you literally pull it out of nothing, pretty much. I'm explaining it simply. But they also do a lot of like teleportation. So Barathir, my little buddy, they have very long like adolescence because they live for so long. So basically they turn into young adults around the age of like 100. And I read this in an article too. They like have an epiphany around age 100, and then they basically turn from a child into an adult. So I had Barathir like have his epiphany early, like 85. So he was like 85 years old. But they like, they age so slowly, so he's still like very young looking. Like they're like little toddlers and like little children for so long. So when he's 85, he has his epiphany, and that is when he connects with Agma, this god who's not an elf god. And he's kind of like, why is Agma like connecting with me in this epiphany? Whatever. And he's like, okay, cool. Like, god of knowledge, that makes sense. And, you know, he's called to do conjuration magic. And because he's like valedictorian, essentially, when he graduates, he is like being honored at this, at like some like council, whatever. And he has been assigned essentially to be the apprentice of the best conjuration wizard on Evermeet. And their name is Teothil, which I know I got from that one site. Teothil means magic wing. And I'd like taken some notes, and initially I just made them in what's it called? Like Pick Crew. There's Teothil. And anyway, 85, they go to the council, and Teothil is like at the ceremony to be assigned to Barathir, as, you know, they're gonna be his mentor, it's gonna be great. And boom, oh my god, soulmates, theremin, bam, connection, it's great, it makes so much sense. Barathir is like, yes, we are gonna be so hashtag powerful, I'm so smart, you're so smart, we are in love, this is the best. But he's still like very young, still has a lot to learn, basically just became a young adult. So for 15 years, he and Teothil are like living in the library, essentially. He's learning so much from them and just, you know, studying. And they're basically like, yeah, we're such a power couple, literally. I think they're very interested in like teleportation and that kind of stuff. And Barathir like fully believes that with the two of them together, like they are going to like be in history books. They're gonna like make like huge changes to like Evermeet. Like, this is the reason why like he has a theremin bond, is because like it's basically both of their destiny to like better Evermeet. And so Evermeet is essentially a like utopia for elves. It's run so smoothly, everyone like contributes. It's so like, at least this is what Barathir thinks. I don't know if that's actually true. Everyone is like very much encouraged to contribute like their gifts, like to seek out what they're good at and use their gifts to contribute to the community. And, you know, vice versa, it takes a village mentality. he doesn't grow up in like a nuclear home with parents, and you grow up, it's like all the elf children grow up, and the people who are taking care of them are the elves who had the gift to take care of children. Like, his parents are doing what their gifts are and stuff like that. So anyway, Parathy's like, perfect. I'm meant to be the super powerful conjuration hot couple. Yay, everything's swell, and I'm so smart and successful. Until one day. One day, the theremin snip snip, and in the article it had said that elves who were connected via the soulmate bond could like telepathically communicate. So I was thinking, like, one day they're not together, the theremin breaks, and because it breaks they can no longer telepathically communicate, and Teofil is gone. Cannot find them. No idea where they are. And Barathir, who like no longer feels anything, it's like emotional numbness, like flatline, cut off, feels nothing for his mentor, but it also realizes, and like other elves realize, like, where is Master Teofil? Where did they go? But everyone's kind of like busy doing their own thing. And while most elves would just forget about the theremin, it's broken, no more emotions, move on, Barathir has a tendency, trait, to write everything down. Everything. He journals, notes, like archives, absolutely everything. And so he realizes what happens, and he's reading through all of his notes, and he already knew that the theremin could, you know, be severed. That's like a known fact. And so he had already written out, like, Dear Barathir, if your theremin is to be severed, like, blah, 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 blah. He's like, you will feel nothing. You need to restore it. Like, it is worth your time. This is your calling. Like, you must do this. And he's reading back through all of his old notes, and he's seeing everything where it's like, he and Teofil are, like, meant to be. This is, like, what's supposed to be happening, da-da-da-da-da. And he puts all these pieces together, the very obvious pieces. And he's like, listen, I might not like feel anything right now for this elf, but I trust myself because I am one confident know-it-all. And if I said this, then I trust my notes and I have to go restore this bond. So he kind of says to all the elves, like, hey, I'll go find Teofil. This is, you know, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'll be back soon. And so they're like, Barathir, you are so weak in terms of health. Like, you could get, someone could sneeze on you and you may die. Be careful. And he's like, I'm fine. I have magic and I'm brilliant. And then so he asks the elves on Evermeet, whose job it is to, like, basically help people get transported off of Evermeet to other places. And he's like, can you help me get to Faerûn? And they're like, yeah, that's our job, sure. Are you good, though? Like, you're gonna go alone? And he's like, yeah, everyone's busy doing their own thing. Everyone has their calling. I got this. I am so confident. And then so they're like, okay, Barathir, like, what do you know about Faerûn? And he's like, a lot, because I read, but not a ton, because I never really pictured that I'd have to go there. So they're like giving him a little crash course on Faerûn, and they basically say, like, you need to meet people over there. Barathir hates being alone. It's one of his flaws, is he won't be alone. And they're like, okay, Barathir, that's fine. You can go over to Faerûn because Agmaa Don't forget. Don't forget. Agma, the god of knowledge, gave Barathir a vision that said, hey, if you go restore this shrine, which is located in Faerûn, I will help you with something. And so I wrote that in to be like, obviously Barathir thinks if he listens to the god of knowledge and he goes and restores that shrine, then the god of knowledge will help him find Teothil. And so he's like, okay, I guess I'm going to Faerûn because that's what Agma told me to do. So I'm guessing that's my next step. Logical. Smart. So he's like, okay. Elves don't sleep. They trance. So they basically deep meditation for like 4 hours a night, and instead of sleeping in like those trances, that's where he got the information essentially from Agma to go fix the shrine. So yeah, he's like, bring me over to Faerûn. And they're like, Barathir, you gotta be careful. Like, you are a valedictorian. You are a gem of Evermeet. We don't really want you to die. He's like, I'm fine. And they're like, look, we can hook you up with a really easy job. You'll be able to meet people. You'll get some pocket money. And you'll be able to get close to where you're trying to go, where Agma told you to be, to fix that shrine. It's gonna go, like, right past where that shrine is, and it'll be great. And Barathir's like, thanks. So he gets to Faerûn, and he is pointed in the direction of Gundren Rockseeker, who these elves know is, like, looking to hire people. So he's like, hi, my name is Barathir. I would love to help you. And Gundren's like, yeehaw. Sounds good. And Gundren's like, I've also hired 3 other people. So you're gonna take this down with them. And that is the other 3 members of the party. So, we have Ben's character, Gregor, who's like a 21-year-old, ship dock worker who got fired for, like, standing up for some injustice or something. So he's, like, very young, like, fighter, big guy, Gregor. Then we have the life cleric, Laslin, the dwarf, and she was supposed to be a cleric of a very serious, like, dwarven god, and that's how, like, her parents were bringing her up, because dwarves are very, like, do things for the clan. But she was raised in a big city, ended up meeting some elves at a bar, like, all the time. It kind of opened her worldview, and they told her about this god named Alibol, who was the god of, like, revelry, essentially, like, and partying and, like, drinking. And she was like, this is your god? And they're like, yeah. And she's like, ah, this is amazing. So when she was supposed to basically pledge her life to this dwarven god, instead, she's like, I'm pledging it to Alibol. And she runs away from her family. And then we have Rhodes, who was a tiefling rogue. And he was from this city that we're going to, Phandalin. And he was part of, like, a sketchy group called the Red Brands, who were basically doing illegal stuff, being, like, terrorizing people, stealing stuff, extortion, I don't know. But he did it just to survive. His, like, parents died in a fire. He's very ashamed that he's a tiefling. He has a twin sister who's not a tiefling, and he doesn't talk to her, but he, like, sends her money. Angsty boy. It's us 4 going down. So, super fun dynamic. We had so much fun right off the bat. Each session goes for 3.5 hours or so. And we've had 15 sessions. And we play weekly. Except for we've done a couple of weeks where we don't have a game because someone's busy or something. So, 15 sessions so far, and we finally finished The Lost Minds of Phandelver. And it really just centers around this, I guess spoilers if you don't want to know, I won't say too much. This small rundown town called Phandalin, and it's getting terrorized by the Red Brands, and a couple of like seedy underground people that are clearly running the town. And Gundren Rockseeker thinks that he has found the entrance to this long lost mine from like 1,000 years ago or something, 500 years ago, I don't know. That was like, it had so much like material down there, like silver, gold, but there were all the stuff down there, and also had like untapped or tapped extremely powerful like source of magic, essentially like a faucet where you would just have like really strong magic and you could like make magical items so easily with this, which is like a huge deal. And he was like, me and my brother's like, I think we found the lost mine. And obviously that's very, very valuable information. So Gundren gets kidnapped. A bunch of people want the mine first. It's basically the party's job to figure out what you want to do about that, essentially. So we had a really, really, really good time. Like a really good time. I really enjoyed it. And now we're going to keep going to like basically jump forward in the story. Since I told you about like Parathir's setup, he did restore the shrine, and Agma told him that he needed to seek out the wise old one, in like wise in the way of the woods, and it's this whole thing, and Barathea has already discovered that it is the mentor of James's new character. So his initial character, Rhodes, he retired him by having him stay in Phandalin and be like the new, like on the new council, because we were trying to restore Phandalin and like take care of its citizens and stuff. And Rhodes is like, I'm going to stay here. And so James made a new character, a druid. And so Barathir has to now find, and he will probably like in the next couple of sessions, meet up with this mentor and get information or a spell or something. We'll talk about it. And then the other thing we found out, one of the big twists that our GM did so well, I was surprised, which is funny because I'm very like, I was like, wouldn't it be cool if like XYZ happened? Like, and I write just like everything down. So anyway, super awesome. What happened was the antagonist, I won't spoil or anything, the antagonist the entire time was kind of like, we kept getting messages of like, they want the elf alive. And Barathir was like, of course they want me alive. Like, low-key flattered. And then we find out, face-to-face with this antagonist, that the antagonist is aware of the Theremin bond. They want to take essentially the root of the Theremin, which typically isn't a thing, but Barathir is like a unique case. Usually when it like is a clean break, it's a clean break, but something happened and like Barathir still has like a little root, I guess we'll call it. So antagonist trying to take the root and implant it, I guess, in themselves, maybe in somebody else, but assuming themselves so that then they would be bonded with very powerful conjuration master Teothil. And I was shook. It was very dramatic, the reveal. And then I took out a scroll of Fireball, and it was the first time I used Fireball. And I basically, Barathir was like, in so many words, over my dead body, and just like blasted the hell out of the entire room with like a giant fireball. And the antagonist got away, so we don't know where the antagonist is. They ran. Coward. But they're like, we'll meet again. So dramatic. I loved it. Anyway, the reason that we're still going, so we finished The Lost Minds of Phandelver, kind of, but now we're going through the storyline, so my goal, and people are telling me that I can't do it, but I can do it. I want to get Barathir to level 20. That is my goal. So, ideally, there's like this big overarching adventure that culminates in, I was thinking vaguely that there's some drama going on Evermeet that Barathir is like ignorant to. I kind of wrote in that Teofil had another apprentice that Barathir basically like shoved aside, and I'm like, that could be a source of, ooh, maybe it was that apprentice that's like jealous. Maybe it's like, you'd think it's them, but it's not. But I was thinking, like, eventually we'd have to go back to Evermeet and have, like, some crazy adventure there. And then find out that Teofil is, like, being held hostage or was basically banished to another plane. Another, like, realm of existence. Another plane, essentially. And I'm like, if Teofil is on, like, Arborea, which is the plane where the elf gods live, it's the same plane as the Greek gods. That's where Olympus is. So I was like, can we go have a freaking Olympus adventure on our way to find Teofil level 20, and then we like take them home or something? I don't know how it's gonna work, but that would be epic. I would love it. I'm leaving out like 90% of information, by the way, which is crazy. River's character, Laslin, worshipping the god of drinking, we were like, what if your giant epic quest culminates in you have to come with to Olympus to get Dionysus' cup and bring it to Alibal, like, hand deliver. That's very level 20. So we're thinking those would be sick. And we're not sure whether Ben will probably make a new character eventually. And I'm not sure about James, but I'm very excited. I definitely lost pretty much everybody who doesn't play D&D. I did not explain anything well. But yeah, that's Barathir, Barathir Lovechild. And I really like to play. I don't like to just like outright kill adversaries. I'm very interested in the story. I always want like our GM to tell us, like give us lore and dialogue. Like, Ben's always trying to kill them. Like, because he, you know, you're thinking of it as like a video game where it's like, oh my god, we're up against this evil person. Like, let's just kill them as fast as possible. And I'm like, no, that's boring for me. I'm like, no, I need to know. Like, tell me who you are. Give me the drama. I've enjoyed being creative with my spells. So, Barathir, I didn't even show you any art. Are you kidding? I'm an hour in, I didn't show you any art. Oh my god. I could be putting them on screen this entire time. And I'll put the artist's name, but I might just make like an Instagram post or something. Golden, high, long ponytail, messy side bangs, sun elf. He has a really long like gold necklace, which is like inscribed with a note, like magically inscribed with like a love letter basically from Teothil. 5'8", 140 pounds, slender, delicate little fingers, paper cuts from reading through all of his books. He does not understand sarcasm well. He's very blunt. He will comment if you smell good or bad. He's missing a toe from... He kind of has like a childhood like bestie rival, Cora. And she was super smart. She went to like the illusion side of magic. Anyway, he like lost a bet against her and she like magically took one of his, like his pinky toe, because that's what they bet, and it's like in a jar. And he's really bitter about it. He is super poised, always clean. But he loves trying new things. He doesn't really get scared or flustered. He's very like very curious, intrigued all the time. Asks a lot of questions. Has very weird social boundaries because he grew up in Evermeet with all the elves. So it's like, he feels a little bit like alien-esque in Faerun. So it's been very, very fun. I feel like I said most of the things that I wanted to say. If you have any questions about Barathir, please leave them below, especially if you made it through this whole video. What? If you made it through this video and you don't have any questions, I don't believe you. But I think that should probably be it. If you want me to make a video about anything else, I obviously will. I hope this video pops off. I hope you all want 10 sequels to this. I really should just play with some ASMR to stop. It's actually what I wanted to do for so long, but I never knew how to play. And I was like, I can't learn how to play D&D right now. I don't have time, and I know I'm gonna like it. And I know it's gonna suck up all my time. And I was right. I do an unholy amount of... I spend so much time on Dungeons & Dragons stuff. I'm in another campaign too. Don't get me started. Let me know if you want to hear about Lord Kreis. My half-elf life cleric, Curse of Strahd. That's the other campaign that I said I didn't have time for. But I have tomorrow. I have to let Ben back in the house. Thank you so much. I feel so much better just being able to ramble about that, so... Half of me hopes that you're asleep. The other half hopes we can keep talking about D&D, so let me know which one you are. Good night. Thanks for hanging out. See you next time.
Your business needs AI solutions that are not only ambitious, but also practical and adaptable. That's where Domo's AI and data products platform comes in. With Domo, you can channel AI and data into innovative uses that deliver measurable impact. Secure AI agents connect, prepare, and automate your data workflows, helping you gain insights, receive alerts, and act with ease through guided apps tailored to your role. Domo is built to meet the challenges of today's AI landscape with a robust, all-in-one platform powered by trust, flexibility, and years of expertise in data and AI innovation. Data is hard. Domo is easy. Learn how Domo can help you unlock your data's full potential at ai.domo.com. That's ai.domo.com.
Geico makes it easy to get affordable renter's insurance in as little as 90 seconds. That way, you have more energy for harder things, like the laundry. Why is it so difficult to fold clothes? They just end up wrinkly anyway, or on the floor in a pile that just sits there, taunting you. But with renter's insurance through Geico, at least you know that those clothes and the other things you love are covered. Get more with Geico.